Thanks very much, Elizabeth. I want to welcome you all to Melbourne. For all of those who say that it's always rains in Melbourne, this is the sort of sunshine which we get. So I hope you get the chance to get out into it at some point. I'd like to acknowledge that we meet on the lands of the Wurundjeri people. I pay my respects to elders past and present. I pay my respects to any elders in the room as well. It's been a big week in a big year. You know, as we get to the end of the year, we often hear these statements, well, that was a big year. I think this year is proof why these cliches survive, because it indeed has been a big year. I won't recap all of it, but I will go to the last week that we've had. What I thought I might do, and I acknowledge all the people online too, you just have to take my word for the weather. I want to go to my interpretation of what just happened in the last week, and we can then use more of the time that we would traditionally allocate to apologists and speaking just to engage and hear some of your questions and observations, if that's all right with you. I mean, Bruce and Lisa, and there have been plenty of speakers, Laurie, about the review, and you'll all be pouring through that very important document. I just want to give you my context on what just happened. For a year, we've had the review. When we were elected, the last election, I had the privilege of being appointed Minister for the NDIS. I said that we wanted to rebuild trust. One of the ways we've rebuilt trust is fixing up some of the outstanding issues that should be fixed. We haven't fixed them all, but they're a lot better. You know, there's been 7,000 cases at the AAT resolved, and demand at the AAT is down by a third, which means less trauma, less conflict. We've reduced the waiting time for people on the NDIS who are medically fit for discharge in hospitals from 160 days waiting between fit for discharge and actually being found somewhere to live, down to 26 days. Now, that's an average and there are still people not, but that's good trust. We said we would do some of these what seem to be intractable problems. I also said that we would give you new leadership in the NDIA, and we've done that. And the senior leadership, I think, are remarkable. Kurt and Rebecca and the others. And we've got more resources for the NDIA. No longer is it the sort of unloved child of federal government. More people, more training, bulking it up to do the work which you know needs to be done. I also said I'd start going after criminal and fraudulent and shonky behaviour. And we are. $1 billion of payments have been investigated in the last 12 months. There's now 60 criminal prosecutions underway. It was about 30 when we came to power. But a key part of the last 18 months' journey was the review. And that started around this time last year, and we wanted it done this year in 12 months. The reviewers, as you know, remarkable work. 20,000 hours of work. Places visited all over Australia. The voices of people with disability central to it. 2,000 separate personal stories. 4,000 written submissions. Working through disability representative organisations. 1,000 people and their families spoken to. And then we got the review. And then we've given the review to the states, because I've always had the very firm view that the federal government and the states are partners. Not just in the NDIS, but in disability. Now, the week before the last week, there was a little bit of kabuki role-playing, which drives ordinary Australians sort of to distraction. Some states saying, not us. Anyway, we get to National Cabinet. And what happened at National Cabinet was that for once, well, not just for once, but not as often as it happened, it should happen, but, you know, politics worked. And what we did is get a commitment from the states and territories that they are a renewed commitment, they are partners. And what they said was that at the moment, courtesy of previous administrations of the government, the state contribution to the NDIS is at 4% per year growth. So they make their original contribution and it grows 4% each year capped. Which meant that if the scheme was growing faster than 4%, the Commonwealth was on the hook for the rest. The states have now agreed to increase their contribution to 8% per year. This is actually billions of dollars of states saying we want to be part of the NDIS. Very significant development. In return, the federal government's given, I think, overdue commitments to help with the hospital systems. A trajectory over the next 10 years to get to 45% contribution of the scale of hospital funding. So that's positive. And there was a no worse off guarantee given to states about GST share for the next 3 years. So it was a grand bargain. But crucially, and this is context, for you, for me, and most importantly for people on the scheme and people you work with and the people who work for you, disability was centre stage in the national discussion and discourse. We always do best in disability when we're not in the margins, when we're not at the bottom of the media release, when we're not at the kids' table of public policy discussion, but we're where the main game is. And this is the context I want to talk to you about. The review has proposed what I would call NDIS Mark II. Now, I could take you through each individual chapter, but you can do that. And maybe in question and answer, we'll go to some of the specifics. But essentially, on Wednesday, National Cabinet also said that we would build foundational supports. The new nomenclature for the artist formerly known as Tier 2. The proposition that the NDIS in itself cannot be the only lifeboat in the ocean. We all know the NDIS is changing lives. You should know because you're helping change those lives. We know that the world in disability in Australia is fundamentally very different to 10 years ago when there wasn't an NDIS. And as I've said in the past, and I will say every moment in the future, service providers and the NDS and a lot of the people who were delivering services before 10 years ago, you have been crucial to the success of the scheme. No other sector of the Australian economy changed its whole business model. If you were any other sector, that had demanded a golden parachute, a golden handcuff, you name it. But you thought this was in the best interest of Australians with disability. That's why I admire disability services. Because you looked at the best interests of people and you said, okay, let's go that direction. But this is the context now. In the last 10 years, whilst you've been changing lives, making an incredible difference, we know that the scheme has not been a consistent experience. We know that there are equity issues in terms of accessing the scheme. Let me use a shorthand description for that. If you are a wealthy, professional, inner city dwelling family, your life's not easy, but I tell you what, you're better at working the scheme than people who don't have necessarily those advantages. And we need to make the scheme equitable. You know that the scheme has not been sufficiently transparent, and you know that there have been inconsistent results. You know these things, you've told me that for years. You know, you've told me that the scheme can treat people with disability in a very stressful and traumatic way. You know this. You've told me. So I think that the Wednesday announcement of National Cabinet and then the Thursday review means that this does qualify to have been a big week in a big year. But the context of this debate is what in our busy lives, and it's not always easy to take time to stop and think. Sometimes, well, most of the time, I shouldn't speak for all of you, but I guess you're the same as me, the urgent can crowd out the important, and we don't always get time to step back, step up, look from a bird's eye view what's actually going on. And the context this week is that the scheme had been drifting off course. And it was in danger of being the only lifeboat in the ocean. And you know this to be true. You know that there had been no thought given about the development of workforce. We have this whole world of unregistered providers, many of whom are doing a great job, but the idea you have two systems in one, not ultimately sustainable, not accountable, not transparent. And so the context is that this week, I think, has been as big a week in the history of Australians with disability in this country as any we've had in the last decade. I mean, I take nothing away from the Disability Royal Commission, which my colleague Amanda Rishworth and all the states and various departments will be responding on. I said, that's been a big event, I acknowledge. But this has been a big week, a long time coming. The review, in my opinion, reflects what the review had heard from you and from thousands of people with disability, their families. There hasn't been enough thought given to the accountability of the scheme. We want to make the scheme true to its original intent, and perhaps there was always going to be this point of reckoning. Perhaps it was inevitable when we bulked up something which is world-leading, that it was always going to need the review, the reboot, the Mark II version. And we have 10 years now of data, of lessons, of experience. So perhaps some of the things that are proposed in the review are sort of just the inevitable evolution of a dynamic, unique, generous, world-leading scheme. But the context is there is now political buy-in. Who really matter with the NDIS are people with disability and their families. But politics is always important. And the fact that the Australian taxpayers generously support the scheme is nothing to take for granted. It shows that the generosity, and if you were to talk to Australians generally, they would think that the NDIS, along with Medicare, in my opinion, are probably about the two best purposes you could put your taxes to work for. But it's important to maintain that social license. So, at the end of a big week, there is a long way to go. You know, life isn't a one day, it's the journey. The review is a horizon map, in my opinion. It sets directions. But there's a lot of detail to be filled in, a lot of co-design. We need to make sure there are no unintended consequences in the review which need to be heard and sorted. So there is no hubris or arrogance in the federal government about any of this. I am pleased for Australians with disability. I am pleased for you. What we managed to do, and I don't think it was inevitable we would get this outcome, is I think that we've rebuilt the social licence and we have the potential to rebuild the social licence. We've engaged every government in Australia, both sides of politics, and they're interested. And they actually want the scheme to succeed. A year ago and 2 years ago, perhaps some people would say the way to reform the scheme is to cap it, to brutalise it, to ration it. But that would be putting the scheme in the too hard basket. It would be putting people with disability in the too hard basket. I guess there's another path which some would say, don't change anything. Well, that is actually the lazy path. That will also put the scheme in the too hard basket. That puts people with disability in the too hard basket. It would be willfully negligent to close our eyes, put our hands over our ears, and refuse to look at how we can make the scheme better. So this review and what we do and the National Cabinet has been, literally, in my opinion, a pivot point for people with disability and for the NDIS. The fact that the states, and they were doing it a bit, but the fact there's been renewed attention, and we've had the debate, and that's a good thing. The fact that every Premier in Australia and the federal government have engaged constructively and said, all right, not quite sure what all this foundational support means in the fine print, but we get the theory. And this is the beauty of the review. The review says we actually get, and I know you all know this, we get that the scheme growing at 16%, that there are some people having a lend of the scheme. But what we managed to secure this year is a commitment to an 8% target. There'll be a lot of other people, a lot of other parts of policy in Australia saying, wouldn't mind that, 8% target every year. It means there's going to be more jobs next year than there were this year. It's going to mean there are more people on the scheme next year than there were this year. And for any number of years to come. That is a win. It also has the states and the federal government saying, if we're going to save some money from not spending as much, which we frankly didn't need to spend, we've got the deal that some of that will be reinvested in the world outside the NDIS. See, the NDIS was never the destination. You couldn't say when we have an NDIS job done, life for people with disability and the people who love them in this country is fine. The NDIS is a great win, and we should jealously guard it because the rest of the world looks at it. The NDIS puts us at the main table of political public policy because it's got the funding. It's real money delivering real outcomes. But it was only ever a stepping stone towards the real goal, which is an inclusive Australia. An Australia where the rights, the human rights of people with disability are respected, but also proactively supported. We won't have these foundational supports tomorrow. We've got to work with people. We've got to haggle over the money. We've got to make sure that it works. How do we measure it? What are we trying to achieve? But what we have done this week, which is actually the culmination of a lot of hard work over 10 years, but I would say since the last election, is I think we've honestly had the conversation, how do we make sure the NDIS is not the only lifeboat in the ocean? What we want is support for people based on what they actually need, not just offering them one scheme or nothing. A lot of work to be done, a lot of detail to be filled out. But when I think about it, this to me is the context. We had a challenge. We've had a challenge looming with the scheme. Would the scheme become too top-heavy? Would we say too hard to reform? Which is what some will keep saying about this review. Don't touch things. Or would we say we should just brutalise it, ration it, cut it back? And we've said neither of these things. I know that there is a thirst for more detail. But what's funny about this is that I respect that, but it is us who has to fill the detail in. And we will, together. I think this is an exciting time. And I'm wary about using cliches. You might say, exciting for you, Bill. What does it mean for us? Does it mean more red tape? We're still finding it hard for services to make ends meet. Who are these navigators? What are we really saying about early intervention? Where will the workforce come from? How do you keep the states on the sticky paper of the commitments? I understand those questions. I think there are answers. No 100% guarantees. We and the NDIS are not automatically owed anything. We must make our own future. What this review's done, and I thank not only Bruce and Lisa, but all the panellists and all of you who contributed to it, is what we are doing, in my opinion, is hopefully politician-proofing the NDIS. Governments come and go. I want the NDIS to be sufficiently well thought of and embedded on both sides of politics, within the broader community, most importantly with people with disability. I just want to do everything I can to make sure the NDIS has a bright future and to make sure that disability generally gets the political attention it deserves, that people with disability are not defined by their impairment. But we've made progress this week. And we'll work together on fleshing out the detail. We will listen to people. And I always use the word we because it's not me or it's not you or it's not a particular person. It is us. I want Australia to be the best country in the world for the way we include our citizens with disability to have fulfilling lives. I formed the view 15 years ago as a junior politician that the problem with disability in Australia was a lack of money and a lack of power. It wasn't the disability. We now have resources unimaginable in terms of funding. We're now back at the centre stage of political debate. Everyone's interested. And so now it really is up to us to make it work. We have the resources, we've got the political commitment, we've got by and large a lot of goodwill. I respect anxiety. I respect people trying to say, where do I fit in? Where does my business fit in? I have a package at long last. Where does that fit in? I respect the anxiety, but I would say in closing, let us simply work together to relieve that anxiety. Because there is an immense amount of goodwill. This Christmas we can say, as you're arguing with your relatives who you sometimes want to see, and when you see them, you then remember why you only see them at Christmas, whatever. And when you're debating politics with people, you think, haven't read a book written in the 20th century about politics, that's life. But you can say, I believe in all honesty, that when it comes to the political interest and consensus about including Australians with disability in their families, you can say, the signs are better than worse. And so it's been a big week and a big year. I haven't taken you through each recommendation. You can ask me all those questions, but I want to give you context. I think in my address I said to you, sometimes we let the urgent crowd out the important. Sometimes it's important to step back, have that bird's eye view. Because of you, the NDIS exists, and because of many ordinary grassroots people. Because of you in this review and many ordinary grassroots people, we've now somehow fashioned a political consensus that the best way to sustain the NDIS is to build services outside the NDIS. Whilst it does seem a sort of statement of the obvious, it's a big year because that theory is the dominant theory, that we don't have to slash and burn, we don't have to punish. Instead, what we do is we moderate some of the growth, we reinvest some of that, and we always ask ourselves, what is in the best interest of Australians with disability, and how do we get to an inclusive Australia? Thank you very much for what you do.